So for those who really survive this era, you will get to witness a lot of beautiful things. Even the year 2020, you remember when my ATO first, Vision 20, we thought, ayo, Dono can live. No, Dono can live that long. And now, one more year, 2020, you know. That time, really. Because especially when I was in the uni, second year, end of first year, we saw one of our classmates pass away. Tola Ensign guy. Towards the third term, first year, before the exam, he was having this stomach ache. Then he lie down on the day one kuliah up there. I still remember talking to him. He said, don't know why, it's very painful. Then after that, near exam, he was admitted to UH. Then it seems he did the exam in UH, he passed. But before the result come out, he passed away. Cancer, they say cancer. So quite traumatic, so young. Then later on, I heard, when I came out to work, I heard those in the engineering profession, especially construction site, 40 years old, a lot heart attack die. You got the pressure. That's why I tell myself, I don't want to work for contractor. So that was something rather amazing. But really, construction is not easy that time. That time, the pressure. And a lot of things were very primitive. I remember a lot of classmates. During my time, we got this fax already, We can fax the instruction to the work site, Well, to us, that is marvelous technology because I don't have to drive all the way to my construction site, which is very far. Then one trip down, one trip down, and one whole day gone already. But with the fax, the instruction went through. So fax was one very useful technology, but it takes so long after fax for other things to happen. Then even phone. Phone is a luxury that time. Then the first time the handphone come out, you know how big or not? Taikotai. Wow, really big. I saw my brother bought one because he got this classmate who were in the fishing industry. So they need the taikotai. No signal in the sea, but they can get signal. So I saw him having that one. He brought home. Then we tried. Then some they use walkie-talkie. Yeah, walkie-talkie already like, wow, fantastic. But that time, technology was very slow in the 80s, early 80s, until the 90s. Still, I think the handphone was not around yet. Nokia first, Nokia, SMS, I remember. Then after Nokia, only handphone. Handphone was 20 something, the year 2000 onward. So late, is it? 10 years ago only, 9-10 years ago only, handphone. Suyang will know this one. 2007. Actually, not that long, 2007, 12 years ago only. But it has actually revolutionized the way we do things. The CIA used first. That time, black and white TV already very luxurious during the early 70s and 80s. Then later on, go to uni, the college there. Your time, color TV already. My time, still some of the TV, black and white. That time, I remember, every time got badminton, Thomas Cup, or this, what they call, Joe Frazier, Cassius Clay, or whatever, the boxing. Wow, crazy, the whole college full of people. So, those were the days. Then later on, wow, color TV, So the moment I graduate, first color TV, bought the smallest one. How many inch are there? 10 inch, I don't know. doesn't last one. Then later on buy the 14 inch, that one better. No, Wu Jing is the Pei Kao Chun, very small. That one buy second hand, so cannot work. Then later on the 14 inch one was good. The first 14 inch Sony is not cheap. I paid 1000 plus for it. But the color was very good at that time. Real lasting. Because I promoted to super scale. Then later on, very lucky. Got back pay some more, everything. That's why after that, first thing I bought is the TV, the color one. Then from there, things change. But the last 10 years, I think fantastic. The last 10 years. And going forward, it will be even more fantastic, faster. Okay, we can start. 8:14 already. Better start the puja. So today is our last Thursday class before Chinese New Year. After this is real Chinese New Year already. Well, tomorrow we lie holiday. After that, the next venue is Padmasri House. Until end of March. After retreat. So we get to experience all these wonders. Okay, come. Pang and Angie, So tonight we get Pang and Angie to help light the incense. Okay, the rest of us can stand for puja. Can be seated. Today is the 31st, January 2019. So tomorrow is 1st of February, National Day. Federal Territory Day. Sorry, not National Day. FT Day. So it's still a holiday. Today is actually our Agong swearing in, but it was not declared a holiday. Okay, we wait for the offering by Tammy. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dhatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dhatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dhatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dittena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghena pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe puje mi butang kesumena nena ponena matena ceho tuokang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati winasa bawang adiwase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adiwase tuno bante pale parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adiwase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the addition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple jam. Padang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light. So as usual, those who already know how to meditate, you just go ahead. For those who still need to train your mind, you also do what you need to do. The key to meditation is very simple. Always remember the four support. This four support can help you. First thing first, you have to relax completely. body and mind. Then whatever mind state that arise, yeah, whether you are very calm, yeah, or very peaceful, or you develop some form of energy, you just remember the key is to relax into all mind state, regardless of what it is, just relax, feel it soothingly relax. If you know how to relax, you will be at ease, your mind will be calm, peaceful, not in a conditioned state. So relaxation is key. If you know how to relax, energy will not build up, the mind will not enter concentration or focus. It can still be collected and unwavering. And that one is the free mind. But if you start to focus and concentrate, then it's a conditioned mind. It's not a free mind. So when you focus and concentrate, you cannot relax. So a lot of people may not understand. In the past, you may have been taught certain type of meditation that lead to concentration or focusing or even absorption. Then it may just arise quite naturally. Then when it arises, you forget to relax the first step, then you can be caught in that state. That's why a lot of people, they find it very difficult to gain progress in meditation because they forgot how to relax body and mind. It's only through relaxation you can have a free mind, an unconditioned mind. So this relaxed state is very important. Then after that, maintain awareness. The second support is just aware. To be aware, you don't have to do anything. You just have to silence your mind completely. Without thought, you're already aware. So the silent mind is the meditative mind. So just relax, silent, and just aware, maintain awareness, that's it. But because of mental hindrance, because you don't have the stability of spiritual faculty, your mental hindrance will arise, and your thinking will arise, because this is the way of the mundane mind. The mundane mind that hasn't developed the spiritual faculty will be heedless. It will think. The five mental hindrance will arise because there is nothing to counter them. The only thing that can counter the mental hindrance are the five spiritual faculties. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. If you have not developed them, you are not able to enter the meditative state of inner awareness and inner peacefulness. The reason being, the spiritual faculties are the base for the meditative mind. And this is the spiritual faculty that can understand spiritual teaching. That's why the spiritual faculties are important. Without them, the mental hindrance will arise, and their sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind. Then fourth one is restlessness of mind, and the fifth one is doubt. So this five mental hindrance, as per the word hindrance, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you cannot have this meditative mind. So without the spiritual faculty, it's not easy. That's the reason why a lot of teacher or meditation instructor or practitioner, they always give you an object of meditation to anchor your mind so that your mind will not wander off and become heedless. So all these method techniques and object of meditation are skillful means to allow you to anchor your mind, to develop mindfulness over it. These are not required if you already develop the spiritual faculty. But before the spiritual faculty are developed, you have no choice. You need something to actually anchor your mind and develop the mindfulness. That's why Anapanasati is one of them. Anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath to anchor your mind to your breathing. When you are aware of your in and out breath, your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. You will experience piti leading to sukhang and paucity, because the mind that is aware, mindful, without thought, is peaceful. And piti and sukhang will arise. Then finally the mind becomes so calm, so peaceful and so still. It becomes the silent mind. It becomes what we call the meditative mind. In Pali, the Buddha called it paucity. Paucity is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. This is the mind that can meditate. This is the mind that can develop the understanding, the awakening. So that's why all meditation center around this understanding. You are here to train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it until it becomes unmoving, until it becomes paucity, tranquil, still. Then mind enters sati. This is the first stage. Once you can do that, stabilize it, then when you come out of your meditation, you will come to experience different things. Moment to moment, everything is like within your ability to be aware. Your awareness and all activity you do, physical, mental, nature, they are one. Then even when you are in your sitting, as paucity develops, the silence, the stillness develops, you continue to relax and maintain awareness until the mundane mind completely ceases, when there is no more thought. That natural state of mind without thought is your true mind. That is paucity, tranquility of mind still. So when that one arrives, silence everything and just stay there. That is the mind that can develop the stability of sati. When it develops that stability, you will understand many things. The slightest movement or activity within your kaya, they are like magnified. That's why later on, as you come out of the meditation, this mind is already in sati. They will enable you to develop sati in all posture, whatever posture you are. Your kaya and your awareness, they will move as one. Then later on, your sense organ, every moment of seeing, whatever you see, it's like a flow. You see things in sati. You hear things in sati. Means specific phenomenal awareness. Everything like just flow in front of your vision. The seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, they are all in sati. Even smell, taste, tactile. Then the slightest movement is like magnified into very big movement. Then this mind is very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, it can detect many things. If you bring it to your heart, silent everything, it can detect your heartbeat, pounding. Then slowly, slowly, the thing slow down until it becomes very quiet, very still. This is because your mind that has entered sati is very sensitive. So the awareness can pick up many things. You don't need stethoscope like the doctor to feel your heartbeat. It will be there. Then wherever you locate this mind, it can investigate. It can also have the sensitivity to go in. Just like when you keep it at the breath, even the subtle breathing or no more breathing, before you hit pasati, that breath will come back to you. It's like that breathing, the very subtle breathing is like magnified and you can feel them. That's why at that time you are fully aware. Every action, every moment, every awareness is in sati, because your mind is in sati. And that is the stability of pasati that you need to develop for you to have the ability to go into the daily mindfulness after that. Not until your mind enters sati, your daily mindfulness will never be stable. Yeah. You will never be able to do it in the midst of life and activity. So this is for you to reflect and contemplate and develop the meditation accordingly. With this understanding, you are very clear about what you are here for. That stability of mindfulness leading to pasati is very important. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after the 30 minutes is up. 6, we will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditadbo vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu
Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, eh? Body and mind. Yeah. Completely relax and maintain some more attention. Then we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, eh? Followed by whatever question and answer or dhamma that we want to discuss on. Eh? Tonight, maybe we got one J. Krishnamurti quote, and the last Thursday's outline short note. Eh? So we start off with meditation, reporting, and question. Anybody? Just raise your hand. We pass you the mic. Anybody want to report your meditation? Don't have. Okay. Then we go to this Thursday class. Short notes, outline short notes. I think it's in our website. You go to our My Kayanamita website. Okay. Then, before Sui An's Thursday class notice, there is a 24th January 2019 Thursday class outline short note, the green color. You just press on it, then it will come up. Short note for Brother Teo's 24th January Thursday class 2019. Okay, we'll go through this one. Brother Teo read through last Thursday's outline short note, which were very good. I think last Thursday we went through that one, was very detailed. He further stressed upon the importance of developing a very stable daily mindfulness. So this is what Sati Sampajana is all about. Without the stability of daily mindfulness, you can never develop the understanding of the meditation. It's very clearly stated in the Abhijja Sutta. These are the steps that you need to take. Of course, we have gone through, most Kayamita have the first four or five steps. You must have Dhamma friends, the first prerequisite, the Buddha said. Then when you have Dhamma friends, you have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. That is the second step. Then after that, you develop the faith and you develop the ability to comprehend the teaching, Pariyatti. Then from there, you will have faith in the Triple Gem. Faith is very important. Then when you have the faith, you will be very determined. Then you will also develop what they call Yoniso Manasikara. Because that faith will lead you to persevere, to develop the contemplative wisdom, the second turning wisdom. After you listen to the Dhamma, that is the first turning wisdom. They call it Sutamaya Panya. Then you reflect, contemplate and inquire into the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. Especially the first, second and third and fourth noble truth. You go through the three turning. Wendy, yes.
I've been learning Buddhism for many years.
Okay.
But I don't have Dhamma friend.
Oh,
I was co-temper. Then after that, I'll be going back home. I don't feel like talking to people.
Okay.
I don't know how to get Dhamma friend.
How did you go to temple?
I go to temple by myself.
All by yourself. Okay.
Then
when you are at the temple, do you meet people that you
get to know? Chanting, we don't have chance to talk.
And
then Dhamma class, Dhamma talk, we're not allowed to talk.
Oh, okay.
Then after the class, I mean, I feel like going back, don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
So I can't
I understand your situation. Not to say you can't have Dhamma friends, because you didn't know about your past. In the past, you have Dhamma friends before. That's why you will have the condition to go back to the temple. Understand? When you go back to the temple, if you don't have the affinity and the condition from the past, you will not get interested in the Dhamma talk. Understand? You will not even have interest or pay attention. So all these are your past affinity. You off it first. So these are your past affinity and condition. Just like this life. Yeah? All these people you come to know, Sui An, they are your Dhamma friends. Understand? Then the one that give you the Dhamma talk, they are your Dhamma friends. You don't have to become his friend. Dhamma friends are Dhamma practitioner, yeah, or cultivator who walk the path of Dhamma. Then they are called Kayanamita, Dhamma friend. They need not be your, in the real sense, friend. Understand? Because that Kayanamita word, Mita, is friend. That Kayanamita is Dhamma friends. Means we are together walking the same path of Dhamma, to cultivate the Dhamma, to learn the Dhamma, to establish ourselves in Dhamma. That's why we can become Dhamma friends. And we are automatically Dhamma friends. Yeah. So without association with Dhamma friends, you will not have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Even the person who speaks the true Dhamma, you go and listen. He is your Dhamma friend. Understand? Where he counsels you. He motivates you. He share with you his whatever understanding. Yeah? And he bring forth the Dhamma to you. Yeah? So this occasion and condition for you to have Dhamma. Then as you go to the temple, because you are not a person who can easily maybe meet friends. I believe most individuals, they don't have the ability to break the ice and become friendly to people whom you haven't met. Yeah? Just like your case, I think you go Brickfield, you don't have friends. So during the early day when I was there also, I don't have friends. But then when I put my two kids there, because they need to go kindergarten. And for my case, it's very simple. Well, my wife is a school teacher. So the first thing she alerted me was, he said, nowadays in the school, even in that time, you know, the early 80s. You know, well, my daughter was born in the year 1980, my son 1982. So when my daughter was 4 or 5 years old, I think, my son was 3 years old, she told me, better bring them to Sunday school. I said, why? He said, now our education system, their syllabus has become so different. You don't have, like last time, freedom of religion. All this. So now you don't have religion, you know what they do. They ask you to go and attend their type of class. So they very scared or become influenced. So we also that, he said, better send them somewhere. Oh, I said, very easy. Well, I know Brickfield, where I used to go Brickfield, and I was always there. So we were also helping out in the recording and all those things. So because of that, I brought my two kids there. But very fast, we get to know almost everyone. Yeah. But when you know them as friends, it's not necessary they are true, genuine Dhamma friends, you understand? Because some of these, they like to go there and do chanting. Yeah. They go there and help out in different things. Yeah. So the real cultivator, very few. I realize very few. And a lot of them are very interested in what they call dana. You know what is dana? No? Make offering. Then help out in the Sunday school. Then help out in the temple activity and services, like Vesak Day and all things. Then full moon, new moon chanting, all night chanting. Then become community member or help out in the youth wing and all those things. So there are a lot of things that you can get yourself involved in. But I'm the one that is more interested in cultivation. So I go there, I go to the library, I listen to Dhamma talk. Then I really reflect and contact. I like to go and collect the booklet. Then I like to listen to Dhamma talk. Then I volunteer to become the person responsible for recording all the talk. Then I also join the tape library where we record all this talk, then we transfer it to record the tapes and put on the library for people to borrow to listen. So the master we keep, then the one that we copy, we lend out. If damaged, we still got the master to copy back. And that time not cheap, no. We had to ask people to donate voluntary the what they call free tape. So last time got 30 minutes and 90 minutes. Or 60 minutes, sorry. 45 and 60 minutes. I think 30 and 60, sorry. 30 and 60. So that time I remember one box, 10 pieces. I think our money that time was quite big now. It's about 15 to 20 ringgit in one box. But still a lot of people donate. And that time really doesn't last on. After a few rounds, the tape elongate or get entangled or snap. Get entangled is very often. The recorder, we record until that thing, I think, not so good already. The recorder also break down. Then sometimes the tape gets stuck inside. So these are the things that happen when technology is not so advanced. Now, no need tape. Oh, now pen drive, CD, handphone. So convenient. That's why it's easier to learn Dhamma. So these are the things that different people with different interests will do. Because I was focused on Dhamma, that's why I get to record all this. And I got to screen all this talk, which are the good ones. So I put in the title. Sometimes the titles are not there. And because I was involved in the tape library for about 6 over years, I think, I came to know quite a number of people. So, then they like to ask me, you say, Bratia, which tape is good? Which is the most recent one that I recommend? Well, they really go back and listen. So that's how it gets popular. But the tape doesn't last. So some of these, after a long time, cannot even turn, cannot even run. Then some, I think because of moisture or what, damp, then got problem. Then even when we went to Thailand, there was one trip, not supposed to meet all these great monks and all those things. We were so lucky. Even the driver couldn't believe, the Thai driver. He took us for 9 days going around to look for this great master. He told us, you don't dream. I've been driving around for 10 over years. He said, almost 20 years. Seldom I meet any. That trip, we met everyone. He was so surprised. He don't want to collect our van rental. That whole 9 day, he said he want to offer dana. I said, cannot. We really cannot take advantage of you. So we say we pay you, then you donate to the temple. Wow, he was so happy. He invited us that day. We supposed to go back to hotel. He said, no need stay hotel, stay my house. Then plunge us, cook for us. So he was full of joy. So what happened was, Achan Mahabhoa, the late Achan Mahabhoa, he said, impossible to see him. That trip, we not only met him, no, he invited us in, no, personal, no, alone. All of us were in his room except one guy. One guy, that guy who has karmic problem, like karmic negativity. Because when this driver was taking us around, he got a friend. He is very greedy. He want to make money out of us. So he keep on telling that driver to tell us, this one is not included, that one not included. You have to pay extra for this, extra for that. But the driver, as he get to know us, was too shy to open his mouth. So that third day or fourth day, I think, we're supposed to go to Achan Mahabhoa there. You know what he asked me or not? You got make appointment or not? I said, don't have. Don't have, you want to go and see him? Any festival there or not? Don't have. Yeah? You don't know him, you don't make appointment? No festival, you want to see him? Some of the time very odd, no? He said, by now, if I take you all the way we drive, drop by one or two places, you reach there, 7 something at night. Nobody is going to open up for you and others. Then I told him, never mind, don't worry. You just go, we pay you. I said. And he drove. Then after that, he reached there about dark already. I think 7 or 7. Before he reached there, he said, I already told you. He said, you're wasting your time. He said, everything dark, gate also closed, nothing. I said, never mind, you just go. Then you know, Ivan, suddenly at the back, one headlight shine, come in, no, four-wheel drive. The monk came back, no, don't know from where. No. So everybody was excited. Then I came down, I approached the four-wheel drive. Then I talked to the monk. There was one monk inside there, the young monk. It so happened he looked after Achan Mahabhoa. So I told him, we are from Malaysia. And he speaks a bit of English. So we are here to make our, pay our respect and make some offering. So we hope we can get to see him. You know what the monk told me? You got appointment or not? Do you got any referral? I said, don't have. Like that, not likely you cannot. I said, we would appreciate you just let Achan Mahabhoa know. Just let him know. He said, no, never mind. We'll go back. You know what happened? He said, okay, okay. So he went in without any confidence. All of a sudden, within a few minutes, he was full of joy. He ran out. He said, Achan Mahabhoa, I want to meet you all. He said, oh, come, come. He said, all come. And you know what happened? The whole group of us, 8 of us with the driver and the driver's friend. All of us want to go in. There was one dog inside there. He stopped that fellow. All of us, he didn't come near, didn't bark or so. We all went in without anybody. That guy cannot even enter the gate because the dog sense he got evil. Bark at him, no. And the young man laugh. He know, happened before. All these, the mind, not pure, or don't have one, sure cannot go in. Then when we went in, we were so surprised. 7 something. And such a famous monk. And everybody know he's an arahant. He invited us in, into his private room where he sleep and he meditate one, no? All over the place. Then he talked to us. Of course, there's a translator. Then he speak in Thai. Then after that, he gave me one box, or no, 2 boxes of his tape, no? All in Thai. So we were full of joy. Then we request for photograph with him, no? I didn't know, he don't allow anybody to take personal photograph. No? Wow, we all take turn. No? Then me and my family also, then individual. Then after that, when I came back, I bumped into Pearly. You know Pearly? The Wave group. The print the book, Dhamma book for free distribution. Eric and Pearly. When I told him, we met him and take photo with him. She don't believe, no. He said, he never allow people to take photo. Cannot be. I said, you went into the kuti. Then I show her the photo. Then only she believe.
See? That's why the driver was full of joy. He said, I've been looking for this monk for 20 years. He said, I can't find him. And this thing happened now. And what I want to tell you is that tape, although such a good tape from such a good monk, I still have the tape, but all already like molded and cannot turn really. But I listen to them, but it's in Thai. So a lot of these things need affinity, like your Dhamma friends also, you may think this life you don't have. But in the past, like this life, you have met many. You have affinity with Triple Gem, because when you chant, you take refuge. Then when you recite the salutation, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa, you pay homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. And this is really refuge safe. You take refuge, you pay homage, then you recite with faith and understanding. So the affinity is very strong. And all these are your Dhamma friend. No? And the Buddha mentioned to Ananda, he said, he said, Kayanimittaship is very important. So Ananda thought, if it's very important, it must be at least 50% of your spiritual life. So he told the Buddha, he said, yeah, Kayanimittaship is very important. Kayanimittaship is half of our holy life, 50%. The Buddha tell him, no, Kayanimittaship is 100% of the holy life. Without Kayanamitta, you cannot find this Dhamma, this truth. You cannot find this way. That's why he told Ananda, he corrected him. It's 100% of the holy life. So Kayanamitta ship is very important. And the best of Kayanamitta, you know who? The Buddha, Sammasambuddha. He said, he is the best among all. Because nobody can be better than him as a Kayanamitta. That's why he delivered his teaching. He has his sasana. And he set up the order of the Aryan Sangha, enlightened disciple. So all this is what we call affinity. Then you will definitely have Dhamma friends. Then we continue from there. After you have Dhamma friends, you will have a chance to listen to the Dhamma. Especially from people who have developed the cultivation. Then when you listen to the Dhamma, you have your past cultivation. Through listening, the first turning, Suttamaya Panya, you can awaken. Then you can develop the understanding of the Dhamma. But let's say, if the first turning doesn't awaken you, because you don't have the strong past, then you have to do the second turning yourself. Second turning is to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the teaching that you have heard. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? How can I put it to test? And how can I put it into practice and develop the understanding of it? So when you start to reflect, contemplate, and inquire, you start to develop deeper understanding. It's just like you start to assimilate all this Dhamma that you have listened, stabilize them. Then slowly assimilate them into your understanding or your nature. Then you can put it into practice. You can live it. So that is the second turning wisdom. And the Buddha called it Chintamaya Panya. If that one also not powerful enough, doesn't awaken you, then you have to go for the third turning, which is the meditative training. Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana, which is the meditative training. So once you do this, but Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you don't need the third turning. First two turning wisdom is enough. It will prepare the base for you to receive the subsequent truth. Subsequent truth can be first turning, second turning, or third turning. So the Avijja Sutta state very clearly, when you have Dhamma friend, you will have a chance to listen to the true Dhamma. Then you will develop the faith.
then you will straighten your view, develop the first, second turning wisdom to arise the initial wisdom, which he called Yoniso Manasikara. Then when it stand up to investigation, when you see all this Dhamma so beautiful, his teaching is so beautiful, stand up to investigation, then that faith will drive you further to cultivate. The next step you cultivate is daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. That's why this outline short note remind you to cultivate that. Well, most of you as Kayamita, you had the first four. First four means you had Dhamma friend, you have been listening to the Dhamma, you have been cultivating the first and second turning wisdom, you had developed the faith, you had developed the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. With the initial wisdom, your mind tend to be more calm, more peaceful. Well, it will not stir like before. Well, you have straightened a lot of your views. Your first and second turning wisdom can allow you to have the understanding not to be heedless like before. Understand? That's why you will have more moment of mindfulness, more clarity. Then your daily mindfulness will be easier. Understand? That's why it's all connected. Then when your daily mindfulness is there, you will be able to have sense restraint. Because when you have mindfulness, you can see your evil roots, your three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you can arise the four right effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. Then the right effort to cultivate those wholesome actions, speech, and thought that are still not there. Then the right effort to perfect them, to refine upon them and perfect them. So once you do this, you will have the ability to have sense restraint. Sense restraint means when you see something, when you hear something, when you think of something, you cannot be deceived by what you see, what you hear, and what you think. Your mind becomes very stable because of this initial wisdom, and the mindfulness and the four right effort. So because of that, you have sense restraint. So the Buddha said, after you have sense restraint, you will be able to arise the three types of right conduct. Understand? Right speech, right action, and right thought. Before that, you cannot. After this only, you can cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. So all the steps are very clear. The next step that you all Kayamita need to break is this daily mindfulness. You do it, I tell you. The moment it comes. That's why today's meditation instruction I give is different. I teach you how to develop the real meditative mind, paucity, tranquility of mind still. That is the most important step. If in formal meditation you cannot get it, you don't stand a chance when you come out into life. So when you get it right, develop the mindfulness, stabilize it, then develop until the mindfulness is so stable until the mind enters sati, paucity. Then when you have this ability, your daily mindfulness will become very easy. But after that, your mind enters sati. Everything you do is in sati. That's why from then onward, your daily mindfulness is very simple. Very, very, very easy. Then you progress very fast. Then when your mindfulness is there, you can see all of your subtle mental intention, your whatever delusion, the dependent origination, everything, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha mentioned, all become clear to you. That's why when that one is there, your sense restraint is there, the three way of right conduct is there, you will be able to overcome covetousness and grief. Then only you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to develop the third turning wisdom, Bhavanamaya Panya. If you can, you go and listen to the Tuesday class. Yeah. There is one sharing by one lady, Adeline. Yeah. She is very good because she has been following me for very long. Then the last 2 years, I think she developed the daily mindfulness. And because of the daily mindfulness, every time she goes somewhere, even my retreat, then when she went to Rayong, also same. the mind becomes continuous for a few days in the meditative state, the mind settles down very fast. And the latest one is Wat Na Long. That sharing was about Wat Na Long. He said, I think quite a lot of you all went. Yeah? How many of you all went this year? 21. No, here. How many? 3 only. Oh, maybe you and Suyan. He told me the first few days theory. He said all theory. He said all theory, but she can understand. She was full of joy. Then you know the last day was like meditation. When the meditation started, you know what happened, she said. Because her daily mindfulness was already there. Then the Dhamma, when she listened, because she already had the understanding, there was so much joy. Then all of a sudden, the mind becomes so quiet and so still. It's a free mind, that enter positive, tranquility, stillness. And the whole nature transforms. And when I read that note, Jai Krishnamurti note, you and nothingness are one. She was full of joy Tuesday night. Then she put up her hand and she said she want to share. So I say, very good, share. And she told everybody all this, the sharing. And you know what he said? He said, Virgil, last time when you read Jai Krishnamurti quote, it's like Greek to me. I cannot understand. This time, every word is so clear. That he was exactly in that state of stillness and tranquility where his nature can understand what nothingness is. No? I say it's because of the daily mindfulness. Without the daily mindfulness, you can't. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. So this is the part I really want you all to understand. Yes, Angie. Yeah. Where's the mic? Pass the mic to yes. Yeah, Angie. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't on or push one more. Okay.
Daily mindfulness. Yes. Is it the same as present moment awareness? And you know, if we have a present moment awareness, is there a necessity to do sitting down meditation? You know, because it's supposed to be the highest form of meditation. Okay. That Brother Tu say, right?
I will answer you. Thank you so much for the question, which is very good. Okay, the first part of your question. Is present moment awareness daily mindfulness? Yes and no. If you can do it until it's continuous, then yes. Present moment awareness is just a word. Aware. This moment. Next moment. But if you cannot maintain it throughout the day with that stability, then it's not daily mindfulness. Daily mindfulness means ever mindful throughout the day. Later on, even in your sleeping moment. Yeah. So that is the first part. The second part that you ask is it necessary to do sitting? Okay. Did I tell you all the Zen story or not? Six Patreon. Was it the Thursday class? Sunday class? You know, I think last week, I suddenly on the YouTube, I saw one Six Patria Sutta, the video on Six Patria. Then I saw the picture there, different from last time one. No? Last time one, very good. No? So this one, different one. No? I think make it China one. So I on it. No? Then I saw one part, which the other video didn't do one. No? There was this part, the scene is very good. After Hui Ning came, you remember? after he was sent to the kitchen, then this Shen Xiu, being the most senior, he was leading the meditation because the fifth patriarch was not around that day. So he wanted all the disciples to sit together with him. Then this disciple who is Hui Ming, you know who is Hui Ming or not? Shen Xiu's most senior student. Yeah. He sit until he cannot take it. No. Then he suddenly complained to Shen Xiu. No. He said, Shen Xiu, Shen Xiu, Shen Xiu, Shen Xiu, Shen Xiu, why are you forcing us to sit like that? Isn't our master said, just like what Angie said, quote me, the highest meditation is daily mindfulness. As long as you are mindful throughout the day, you don't have to sit. Can we stop? Because it was raining, very cold and all those things. The condition was very adverse. So he wanted Shen Xiu to like let them go and do what they want and practice only daily mindfulness. You know what Shen Xiu reply was? He said, yes. The master did say that. But the master also say, to do that, you must be a great being with your very strong past cultivation. Then you can do that. Then this Hui Ming kept quiet. He said, you have that type of roots or not? If you don't have, you better learn to sit. So, meditation is not about sitting, as I always say. The most important thing is what? You must know what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise, you are wasting your time, torturing yourself for nothing. You sit there to do what? Like I always explain, what are you here for? Maybe as a rehearsal. You call it what? Rehearsal or what? Not rehearsal, sorry. Refresh course. Refresh course. Or test. Okay. You must know what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise, it won't benefit. So, what is the purpose? Of doing the formal meditation. Meditation. Okay, who wants to start? If you know the purpose, you will know why do you meditate. If you don't know why you meditate, or you don't know the reason why you have to meditate, then you can never understand meditation. Because you are doing without understanding. You are being gullible. You just follow instruction. People ask you to note, you note. People ask you to focus, you focus. People ask you to walk, you walk. Then people ask you to watch rising, falling, telling you this is vipassana, you think this is vipassana. Then you just do without understanding. So doing without understanding is very dangerous. Doing without understanding is very dangerous. So what is it that you need to know? Okay, who wants to volunteer and answer? Your purpose. You sit here to do what? To train your mind. To do what? To be what? To be heedful. Very good. Because here, the Buddha said the most important meditative training is appamada. What is appamada? Heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? Heedfulness got two parts. Ever mindful and constantly meditative means plus cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because the Buddha said this is the path the Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why that is the meditation. So Dhammapada verse 21 say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. If you are heedless, you don't stand a chance. Spiritually, you are dead. But if you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So if you heed this, you are destined for enlightenment. And Dhammapada verse 23 defines clearly what heedfulness is. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. You hold on to these two practices, he said, you will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. Guarantee, the Buddha said. That's why heedfulness is most important. So if heedfulness is most important, the first thing I need to learn is to develop this ability to be ever mindful, isn't it? That's why under the Satipatthana Sutta, one of the training of Kaya Nupassana is Sati Sampajana, mindfulness of all action and all movement in the present moment, daily mindfulness. It's all connected. So this one, to be ever mindful, first you must train your mind to be what? Mindful. Understand? That stabilize it. Then just now what did I tell you? Stabilize until the mind enters sati. Means the mind is not thinking. The mundane mind stop. When there is no more thinking, the mind is in stillness. No activity, no movement. That is your true mind. That is your awareness. That is your real sati. And you have to stabilize that until the mind enters the deep, means your true mind, it become part of you. Then only there is the beginning of real meditation. Before that, whatever you do, it is not going to materialize unless your past cultivation is very good. Because all those that we will do are thought-based, not awareness-based, not mindfulness. That's why under awareness-based meditation, four important support for awareness-based meditation are just these four. The first one, like I explained just now, is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Understand? Even when it tries to go into concentration, absorption, calmness, jhana, or what, relax. If you don't relax, it will go into concentration. It will develop into a conditioned mind. It can be very calm, very still, like in jhana, in absorption, one-pointedness, everything. And these are all thought-based energy field, meditation. So if you don't relax, you get caught. If you relax, it free your mind back into the normal free mind state. After you relax, what are you supposed to do? Maintain awareness. That's why maintain awareness. Awareness first, then maintain 24 hours. Yeah. So this awareness is just sati, mindfulness, or aware, before the thought arises. When the thought arises, you are not aware of it. You are lost in thought already. And as a human being, you got a mundane mind, which is very heedless, think a lot, with a lot of hindrance, but you don't have the spiritual faculty. That's why this awareness cannot come. Because they are called mental hindrance. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner awareness, inner calmness, and inner peacefulness. So this state cannot come. This is actually your silent mind. The moment you are without thought, it's written here, you are already aware. Don't try to be aware. You understand? That's why you have to allow the mind to be the mundane mind. If thought arise, let it arise. You don't feed it any more mental energy, you don't develop like and dislike towards that thing, then it will slowly slow down and cease. Because these are conditioned arising mental thinking, activity. born of your craving, your mental hindrance. If you don't give it any more mental energy, it means you let it do what it like. So like any action, it will slow down by itself. Like the top. Yeah? You play top before, yeah? You spin the top. After the string you tie, that is the one that gives you the friction and the energy, and you swing it. What happened? The top spin. Through what? Through that momentum. Understand? They call circular motion momentum. Yeah? You have a nail down there. Then it will spin around there. Because no more energy given, what happened to the top? Slowly, 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 slow down. Understand? If your top is not balanced, very fast. Crack. Understand? But if your top is quite balanced, quite well designed, it will spin gracefully. Understand? For quite a while. Then after that, it start to slow down. Slow down. Then finally, drop off. Your thought is the same. That's why don't do anything. Silent. Aware. Silent your mind. Don't do anything. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. So just let it be. Let the thought arise. Let whatever mental thinking, emotion, let it be. Because these are conditioned state. Without wrong view, it doesn't arise. So if you don't hold on to the thought, and continue to be angry or fearful or unhappy or restless, this thought cannot move. This is what meditation is all about. And it's so simple. And yet it's the reverse of what you all do. I mean, before you understand this. Because you all go what? Note, focus, concentrate. Look for what? Nimitta, energy. Then one excitement. Oh, note, rising, falling. How am I doing vipassana? That mind inside there is chattering. Understand? Keep on chattering. Am I doing it right? Did my teacher tell me the correct one? The instruction. What is the instruction? How come got pain? Then, wow, sound, aversion. Then they teach you what? Hearing, hearing, hearing. Thinking, thinking, thinking. You verbalize more. How can you be in the state of awareness and sati? Wake up. Don't be comfortable anymore. That's why don't do anything. Just silence the mind. Is it so difficult? Don't do anything. And that is real meditation. Who is doing the meditation if you do? Huh? The thought is doing the meditation. And the thought is actively doing meditation. So how can you have the silent mind to be in the state of sati? You understand? So this is what meditation is about. When you sit, or in the name of meditation, in whatever you do, you just do. Don't try to know. This is the key word. I better put this in red. A lot of people forgot this. I put the star here, red. You remember? So these are now I circle in red. Don't try to know when you are doing it. It has been here for many years now. And every time you all want to know, is this what Brother Teo say? Is this what the Buddha say? Maybe I really realize anatta. I am there already. This one maybe Adeline say one. More empty, tranquil, still. All these are thought, verbalization. The one that she realized is not nothing to do with thought. The whole mind went into stillness. Then the mundane mind gone. Then she realized in the awareness she is nothing. Then all the Dhamma become very clear. Everything that I teach, that's why she was full of joy when she attended my class. She only went to the retreat 2 years only. The first year was full of joy. He said the Heart Sutta, that is the best book she ever had. Everything became so clear. Then after that, she can follow J. Krishnamurti's daily code and other things. So after you have the ability to relax, you just silence your mind to be aware, then this one will develop into pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And the mind will enter sati. After it enters sati, you maintain it for as long as you can. Stabilize it. Don't try to know. Then after that, when you come out of the meditation, you will understand what that thing is. Then you realize every movement, every action you do, awareness and the thing as one. No need to know. That mind that is transformed is like that.
Because now you are already in sati. You are with the true mind. You are no more with the mundane mind. Then you realize everything you see is in sati. It's a flow. Like the moving car. The awareness and the moving car move as one. Then when you listen to me also same, that thing that go in and the awareness of that thing that go in is one. It's not separate. There is no observer and the observer. The observer and the observer is one. That is what specific phenomenal awareness is all about. Then all your smell, taste, tactile, and thought movement is the same. The awareness and the thing is one. That is what daily mindfulness is all about. That is what sati is all about. If you cannot do until that stage, that is not daily mindfulness. Yeah? Understand, huh, Angie? Yeah. So daily mindfulness is not just the word. Present moment, that's why I say yes and no. You can have present moment, it's just that moment. But you must be continuous. You must have the ability to be in the present moment all the time. When you are training, when you are doing it. And it can happen. And when you are in the formal retreat or what, sometimes you sit, sometimes they ask you to walk, you remember? Then sometimes I ask you to bow. Sometimes I ask you to lie down. You know why you have to do this or not? This is to stabilize your sati. Stabilize your stillness, your tranquility of mind, your silent mind. So when you are able to do it until the sati come, your form and mind will know. Because when you bow until you are in the state of sati, your mind is in sati, then you realize that the body and the mind move as one. Then straight away the form and mind realize, eh? No word one. This is what sati is all about. That whole thing, the phenomena is one. Like Krishnamurti said, there is no observer. There is no observe. There is no thinker behind the thought. Everything is in one. Yet the awareness that is together with that thing is actually one joint phenomena. That's the reason why the Buddha said under Satipatthana Sutta, especially Kaya Nupassana, mindfulness of Kaya internally, then mindfulness of Kaya externally. That's why when you can see the specific phenomenal awareness, that is external mindfulness. Then the internal is your internal movement, your physical, your mental, and your nature's movement. So similarly, external also you got physical movement, nature's phenomenal, and finally is mental phenomenal that flow out to understand all this. So this is what the real meditation is, daily mindfulness. You have to do it. Don't try to know. When you hit it, your form and mind connected to it, it will know. Then when it understands that it is not word anymore, it's not a knowledge anymore, because you have developed it, understand? It's just like when you learn any game, understand? You learn until you're very skillful, you know what happened? You are so graceful. Every stroke you move, no need to think one. Automatic one, understand? No lapse in the thought one. But when you are learning, when you are not skillful, there is a lap one. The thought try to do, understand? Like badminton or table tennis, you very lunchun one. Sometimes the shuttlecock also cannot hit. Or you hit also not accurate one. But when it's already trained, very graceful, people ask you how you surf. Surf lah! Understand? Because you already trained, skillful. Then no thought one. Then when you execute, return a shot, spontaneously, it go. Because you already learn. Mindfulness is the same. Do. Do until it come. Then you know. When you are skillful, you will know. Even your home cooking also same. Before you become skillful, you have to look at the cookbook. How many gram of this, how many gram of that. Then every time I weigh, you know. But when you are skillful, no need one. You buy from different place, different ingredients, you also know how to put in to get the right flavor. Well, at the moment you fry, the flavor you know already. Short of what you know already. But if you don't have that stability of understanding, experience, and skill, you cannot. Well, you depend on knowledge. Understand? Every time you check. Or you go and ask around, hey, how you cook? How come you're cooking so delicious? You learn from them. Then they will tell you, learn. It's just like mindfulness. You have to learn. You have to do it. But you don't use your thought to learn. Understand? Learn means just do. Do until it comes. When it comes, your form and mind will know. That is the real sati. Then when the form and mind understand what that is, then you will understand why the way I describe sati is totally different. It's awareness before the knowing. The moment you know, means you perceive. Then thinking start. Your aggregate of mind start. Like, dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, emotion, everything start. Then sometimes fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, and all those things. They arise because of your delusion, wrong view. Without this, it won't arise. Okay? Yeah, Angie? So now clear, daily mindfulness, just do. Yeah. Because nowadays, I think the condition is right. I have to slowly go into this. Otherwise, you all will still not get it correct. Then when I go into this, if you really go and try, it's not difficult. It's just like learning how to ride a bicycle. You remember? I always tell you. At the most, you fall a few times, understand? You won't die, understand? Then the moment you know how to ride that bicycle, what happened? There is joy, you know. Wow, really, can balance by itself, you know. You won't fall, you know. Then later on, can let go one hand. Then later on, can let go two hands. And that is what training to be skillful is all about. So, like learning how to ride a bicycle, means the moment you are skillful, you will know. You already have developed that skill. Then, after you stabilize already, that bicycle you can put aside for 10 years you don't ride, you go on it, you will still know how to ride. But if you half past six you hang the bicycle, cannot, you have to start all over again. Badminton also scared. Because I like badminton when I was young. I play until when I was in the uni, then I graduate, I still play. You know what happened? After I hang up my racket for almost 15 years, at any one time I hold the record, my skill is still there. Stamina no more. But the skill is there, the stroke is there, everything is there because it has been trained. That backhand, all those things. No need to think. You think, you cannot flick on. But because you are so skillful, you will know how to flick. You will know how to actually send the shuttlecock very far. You can decide where you want to send the shuttlecock to. You want to surf baseline, it go baseline. You want to lob baseline, it go baseline. You want to return to the net, you will go to the net. You want to smash, you can smash. So, training how to develop this ability to play this skill is like when you train your mind. What happened? After your mind is trained, what happened? You want it to be silent, it will be silent, isn't it? You want it to think, it think, isn't it? You want it to do whatever, it will do. It will follow you. But before you train, you can't. Like badminton, before you train, you want to lob, not enough energy because you didn't train. Oh, hit so hard or so half caught only. Why? Because you don't know how to flick, you don't know how to lob. There's a skill. When you do it, just that movement, very fast, chop, it go. Understand? Smash also say. Otherwise, you can't even smash, so clumsy. Because your stroke is not there. You have not developed that skill. So mindfulness is the same. After you have developed it, you decide where to send your mind. You decide what you want to do with your mind. You want it to be in a state of stillness, it will be in that state. That's why that time meditation is so simple. Because it listens to you. No longer like last time. Last time you want to sit. I want to become calm. I want to become peaceful. I want to develop the jhana, jnana. But nothing come, thought come. And you find it so difficult to see. After a while, pain here, pain there. Oh, then the mind like monkey running all over. Why? Not trained. After you are trained, it listens to you. And when you know how to relax, everything is so peaceful. Everything is so natural, so orderly. The yoga people also, first thing they learn is relax. That's why their body are very soft. That's why they can do all the yoga movement without pain. So this is what meditation is all about. Relaxation will make you in a very good conducive state to meditate. But when you relax, when you know how to relax, there is no stress. You understand? There is no qi flow block. Everything flow. Relax is to allow it to flow. No constriction. No stress. When there is stress, it has constriction. That's why whenever there is any tightness, any stress within, relax it. Yeah. Free the mind. Relax the tension. So this is how you develop your understanding. Then just do. And it's not easy. It's not difficult, I tell you. It's really not difficult. Especially this sasana, with this type of condition, with this type of ability of understanding of the teaching, it's very easy. Yeah. Especially the sainthood way, very, very easy. But of course, people won't believe what I say because they are so contented. They say, "Ratio, so tapan already, fatta already. I never fall anymore." And so, maximum 7 lives, they always tell me, "Arahan, sure." Maximum no, not minimum no, maximum no. So they say, after that honeymoon already, what is there to worry? At the most, I come back 7 times. I used to make a joke, I say, no need 7 times. If you straight away after that hit Sakadagami, you know what happened? You are a once returner. You only come back to the sensual world once. Understand? Then you hit Anagami, you don't come back. You go to the pure abode and you finish out there. So some people say they want to spend the 7 lifetime all in sensual world. You can, but you have to make aspiration. So Aditan. But 7 life, you think enough or not? It's not enough. Go the Bodhisattva way countless times. You can keep on coming back. After Arahant, you still come back. Understand? Because that is different. Perfection. Okay, now we better go back to our Krishnamurti code. Where is it? Suyan, just another copy. Oh, you don't have? Anymore? No, anymore. At the back. Okay. I need a copy. Thank you. Okay, we go through this quickly. Then after that, hopefully got time, we finish off the Thursday class. So this one you listen. Last Thursday, I remember I talked about it, didn't I? I asked you, who are you? And I say, you are nothing. And that time, how many of you can understand? Oh, got a few. Not bad. Sadhu. So now I read, you understand deeper. Because Krishnamurti put it in such clear written form. So J. Krishnamurti quote, you and nothingness are one. Krishnamurti said, you are nothing. You may have your name, your title, your property, your bank account, and you may have power or authority and be famous. But in spite of all these safeguards, you are still nothing. Understand? You may be totally unaware of this nothingness or emptiness. Or you may simply not want to be aware of it. You know why? That will make you not famous. Understand? You are nothing. So you want to hold on to your what? Your wealth, your authority, your title and all those things. Your fame. So here, Krishnamurti say, or you may simply not want to be aware of your nothingness, but it is still there. Do what you will to avoid it. You may try to escape from it. This is what people do. Especially our politicians now. They are trying to escape. Otherwise, they are too fearful, too stressed out. So they need escape. So this escape is very, very devious. So Krishnamurti said, you may try to escape from it in devious way. Through what? Personal or collective violence. This is what they do, isn't it? Collectively rob the country. Do all those things. Or collectively attack another country. Understand? Go to war and all those things. So this is what he means by through personal or collective violence. Through individual or collective worship, this is the
religious part on. True knowledge and amusement. You go and get yourself to develop all those that can make you excited. Amusement. But whether you are asleep or awake, that nothingness is always there. You understand? You can come upon your relationship to this nothingness and its fear only by being choicelessly aware. This is what the teaching is all about. The daily mindfulness, awareness, without a center, without an ego. That's why choiceless. Who make choice? The thought make choice. When you are without thought, you are just aware. That's why this one is very important. You can only come upon your relationship to this nothingness and its fear only by being choicelessly aware of the escape. How people create escape. Like certain people, when they are very unhappy, depressed, got problem haunting them, what they do? They go and drink, isn't it? In our Chinese culture, very good. We got a Mandarin song for it. Then some people develop habit to smoke, understand or not? These are all escape. Because they don't smoke, they got fear. No? But when they smoke, they feel better. No? You know why? When you smoke, you are actually doing anapanasati without you knowing. Understand? Or? Really? Because you are fully aware. When I was young, I tried it before. And I can blow circle and all those things. Because it's really very soothing. And the smoke that come out through your nose, or not through your mouth. No. Very soothing. Because I'm very good at anapanasati. No. So when I pull that one, one draw, especially the what Peter Stuyvesant got the mean one. But I didn't get addicted. When I was young, because you know, during the 60s and the 70s, every time the kampong, our hometown, got funeral, free cigarettes, free food, of course, a lot of gambling table also. That's how the habit started. So as a student, you cannot smoke. But this kid, some of my friends, they go to the funeral, they see nobody, they take a few sticks, they keep, then accumulate. Then when we together, he say, hey, try, very good. I tell you, luckily it's not drug. So this part, escape, I think by now you understand. He said, you are not related to it as a separate individual entity. This part you have to listen. You are not the observer watching it. Without you, who are you? You are the thought, isn't it? Without you, the thinker, the observer, it is not. You understand? Do you understand this part? Without you, who are you? You are the thought, isn't it? Without the thought, where is the observer? Where is the observer? You understand? The thought is the one that you label as the observer. Then what did the thought observe? Let's say you observe me. What is this me that you are observing? It's your perception, isn't it? Is it different from your thought? It's part of the aggregate of your thought, isn't it? That's why the Buddha said it's a five mental aggregates of form and mind. So you are one entity, but you go and separate it. Understand? And say, I am the observer. The one I observe is separate from me. That's why they develop delusion, great delusion. You know what they observe? I still have greed. I still have fear. I still have anger. It's greed you. It's fear you. They are not you. Why? They come and they go. Understand? You're still around. So how can it be you? But because of that delusion, you observe. I still have ego. I still have fear, you know. I meditate for so long. No? I thought I already so tapan. No? I still got the egoic mind. No? I still got the atta there. Who say all this?
The thought. And who is the thought? Because you can't understand. The thought is the pure awareness with the content inside. And the content is the one that deceives you. Before you are enlightened, who put in the content? The deluded form and mind, understand? Not? And who is this deluded form and mind? Don't have wisdom, don't have right view. That's why he will create the observer and the thought, understand? Not? He will create the I and the me, the personality. That's how the evil root come about. Then because he thinks he exists, he thinks he's separate from the rest, he tries to own things, possess things, control things. Understand? That's how greed, covetousness, desire come about, lust. Then when people create a scene or situation or do something to him, he can get angry, he can become violent. That's the evil root of hatred. Then when he doesn't understand, he develops fear. Then when he has a problem, he develops worry, anxiety, and fear. He projects his thought. All this is delusion. That's why when you don't have mindfulness, you cannot see how you become like that. Through your own delusion, you created all this evil root and entangle yourself through wrong view. When you have right view, the whole phenomenal world of form and consciousness collapse in front of you. They got no power over you. Well, you know them for what they are. They are impermanent. They are dependent originating. They are not real. They are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Impossible. That's why you have to develop the mindfulness, the direct seeing, the insight, to see all this, that the whole lot of phenomenal world, even your five mental aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent. That's why rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Sankara anicang, sankara anatta. Vedana anicang, vedana anatta. They are all of this nature. They exhibit this characteristic. And they are not what you think. Because they are dependent, originating, not a permanent, unchanging. And how can they be you? That if they are not you, how come they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? The Buddha already said the five aggregate of form and mind is not you. So, you are nothing. Understand? You understand? Without the form and mind, what are you? You are nothing. Understand? You cannot do anything. The nature cannot come out and live life. You cannot say the nature is you. Understand? You have a karmic nature. You have a spiritual nature. But they are not you. Understand? It's a nature. Summation of all your karmic thing. That is your karmic conscience. Summation of all your spiritual perfection. That is your spiritual nature. But that one is not a being. No. That one cannot come out and live life. No. To come to this world, you need a form and mind from the karmic nature. The vehicle and the tool. So when you see all this very clearly, then you realize, hey, I am nothing. I am nobody. There is no entity at all. That's why everything is empty. Each year, wasting time. Mind make a day. That's why we have got reality. And we already gone through that. The highest in life, the only reality in life is what? What is it? The present moment is there. And how stable is the present moment? The moment I talk, this moment, dead and gone. This is the only reality and the highest in life now. Present moment awareness, power of now. And yet, it's so unstable, understand? Got reality or not? That's why it's not real. Empty. I give you the other example. Right? We cannot deny we were born since young until now. Did you live this life? You live, isn't it? Did you go through this life? Did you experience all those things? But are they real? Huh? It arises moment to moment, understand? After that moment is gone, it's gone. You can only recall through memory, which is your thought. How real is the thought? They come and they go. Understand? So, look into all this. This is what the three universal characteristics is all about. Anicang, dukkang, anatta. Not what they teach you in the book. Understand? This one, you can see them aware of what is happening moment to moment. That's why it's so clear to you. it's an awakening. That nature, the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind awaken to this truth. It's not a theory. It's not a knowledge. That's why Krishnamurti put here very, very clearly, is it? Without you, the thinker, the observer, it is not. Without you means without the thought. So the observer and the observer, actually they are one joint phenomena, where you don't have the mindfulness to see it. You always separate it through one. Your habitual tendency, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your belief in logic. You know what is logic? Like that day Tuesday class, I remember Vincent. Vincent cannot understand. No. He said, Brother Teo, how can there be no thinker? You agree with him? No? Why you don't agree? It's very normal there. Everyone got thought, isn't it? If there is no thinker, where does the thought come from? Logical or not? Logical, isn't it? But he doesn't have the mindfulness to see. He said the thinker is inside us. You agree or not? Very logical, yeah. No thinker, where got thought? Who think? Somebody must think, yeah. But if you have mindfulness, when you silence everything, you will know how thought come about. Thought is respond to memory. There is no thinker inside there. When you have memory with the consciousness, thought come out. How did thought come out? You input the content. It's the pure consciousness. Because this one is an organ. Your brain is an organ. It's the mind organ. So when you think, you create contact. Upon contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb light up. Means what? Mind consciousness arise. Then you very, very fast, through your own heedlessness and delusion, input the content. That's how you become a thought. That's how you become deceived, deluded. Otherwise you won't. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just a seeing awareness. If you are mindful, you can be at the moment of sati, awareness. That consciousness before the content went in, you know, you aware. Then after that, the content went in, then you do all the funny thing. Well, you don't have wisdom. You don't have right view. You cannot understand all this. Your mindfulness is not stable enough. Mm. I read on, then you will understand. Then Krishnamurti said, you and nothingness are one. You and nothingness are a joint phenomenon, not two separate processes. If you, the thinker, are afraid of it, this is the most important. Yeah? You think you are the thinker, are afraid of it and approach it as something contrary and opposed to you, means you separate them, then what happens? Then any action you may take towards it must inevitably lead to illusion. See? So direct and so straightforward, so clear. And so, to further conflict and misery, that's how you suffer. Well, you go and separate it. And whatever action you do, no use. You know what people do or not? I got anger. I got violence. I am violent. So, you know what they do? They practice non-violence. They practice letting go. They practice suppression, not to get angry. Where got such practice, understand? Huh? How can you practice non-violent? Violence is in you. Like today, somebody sent the oranges on very good. Huh? You remember? Whatever that is inside the orange, you squeeze, sure come out. Yeah. That's why orange juice come out. Yeah. Huh? Then your anger, your violence, is because it's in you, understand? Huh? You are deluded. That's why it come out. How can you practice non-violent when you are still violent? Understand, huh? When you still have delusion, you practice letting go. I don't want to hold. Because this is attachment. This is grasping, clinging. And you suppress, don't want to hold. Understand? But you find it so interesting. Just like the stock market. Every time lose money, chop finger already. Don't want to go in anymore. Burn until hangos already. But the finger slowly, slowly, very fast grow back. Then try again. Ayo, I already know lah. Why cannot discipline? Because that is still in you. You have not developed the understanding. You have not awakened to that truth and that reality. Then the next one is also very good. When there is the discovery, this one very important. The experiencing of that nothingness as you. Then, what happened? Fear which exists only when the thinker is separated from his thought and so tries to establish a relationship with them completely drop away. That's why you have to have this discovery, this awakening. The moment you experience that nothingness, just like what Adeline went through, then you realize that all this is delusion. You yourself are nothing. No. You try to own thing. You try to become miserable over other people. You yourself cannot own your own form and mind. You want to own other form and mind. Understand? See this very clearly. And you are nothing. You don't exist. You are nobody. That form and mind was never you. Understand or not? Five aggregate is impermanent, empty. Non-self. Empty nature of existence. Remember? That day, Joseph asked the question, what is anatta? No reality. All phenomena, they are mind-made. Yi-qie, wei-xing-zao. Know what you think. So this part is the most beautiful. That's why after she heard this, she was full of joy. She said exactly how she felt. That was what happened. So you can have that realization when you are in that complete stillness, free mind, silent, empty. And the best is in that state, in the daily mindfulness. Really, you can have that understanding. It's not a knowledge. You are in that state. The form and mind is connected, of course. But the understanding, which is the wisdom manifest inside, it will be connected to the form and mind. They said from that moment onward, that form and mind no longer deluded. But like she always heard from what I say, that one is the understanding already there, but not stable yet. She also know. She need to stabilize that understanding through contemplation, reflection, going into life. Then when it stabilizes, it becomes friction. Otherwise, it's just entering the path. Then when the friction arrives, she can share. She can explain all this. She will know what this thing and she can describe it to you in words. But before that, she cannot. She need to listen to truth. Then she will have joy and understanding and she can share that few things when you mention it. That's why she also knows she hasn't stabilized it. But the stability will come, not long. Depend on your past and all those things. Okay, then we go to our... Oh, almost time. I think we try to cover the other one. Okay, point number two. The outline short note last Thursday. Unless you can realize your true nature, you cannot understand the truth. All Dharma arise from there. This is what Fifth Patriarch Tohu Ning do. To slow down the arising of Sankara activity, we need to have the initial wisdom, which is Yoniso Manasikara. This Yoniso Manasikara is very important because it can give rise to a stable daily mindfulness, leading to less Sankara, more peace and clarity of mind. Thus, one meditates more easily. Point number four. Bratio shared that in his university day, he did absorption meditation and experiences much stillness. Because I went into continuous anapanasati. I went into absorption. However, when he came out to work, he could still see his craving. Because that time touch money. Can still have a lot of ambition. He shared that if one goes through the absorption or one-pointedness, concentration, meditation, and experiences much stillness, that is not a free mind. That's why I came to know. Under such stillness, the five mental hindrances are all suppressed because of the energy field. It cannot come out. It lacks wisdom to root it out. To root out the mental hindrance. As such, when there is condition, this mental hindrance can still arise. Bharatiya knew that this is not the meditation that the Buddha meant. Bharatiya met Master Xuan Hua during his university day and after graduation. There was so much joy upon knowing Master Xuan Hua would be visiting Malaysia again. He fulfilled his aspiration to meet out with Master Xuan Hua and donated generously accruing merits, etc. Then Bharatiya shared that the Surangama Sutta book that Master Xuan Hua's Kapya handed to him all seemed so familiar when he read it. It was as if everything that happened was meant to be. And not long after that, in the year 1986, his teacher, the book, and the guide all came at the right time. Just like the saying goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. He listened to Master Xuan Hua's Dhamma recording frequently and contemplated deeply. This was his determination to cultivate. In fact, his whole family took refuge under Master Xuan Hua. That was after he received Kuan Yin's message to move, not much time left. Unless you know what your nature is, you will not be able to know what will happen to you. Past cultivation and condition have helped Bharatiya understand deeply his nature since young. Bharatiya was cultivating Anapanasati prior to meeting Master Xuan Hua, and after meeting the Master, he came to understand Mahayana teaching further. Later, he met his teacher Prachayantra and could feel his metta and rather strong energy. His teacher's Dhamma talk was very clear, and Bharatiya had deep faith in his teacher. In one of the meditation talks, his teacher Prachayantra stressed the importance of cultivating the daily mindfulness or awareness in every action and every movement and every instant in daily life. After 2 weeks of constant awareness training and development, Bharatiya's daily mindfulness came. And not long after that, all his understanding arise. That's why it's all from daily mindfulness, nothing else. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, O Bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for attainment of Nibbana, namely, the four foundation of mindfulness. Bharatiya stressed again the importance of awareness and being determined to be ever mindful in the midst of life. Then, like my teacher said, point number 9, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Faith in the teacher is of utmost importance, coupled with aspiration and vow. Cultivation will just flow when the 5 spiritual faculties are developed. According to J. Krishnamurti, the main problem with human beings is they are so full of fear of the unknown. They only want to be in familiar ground. This fear of the unknown will prevent one from investigating further into who and what you are, what one is. Humans also tend to escape from reality. They dare not confront the truth. Most people dare not face their problem and do not know how to resolve them amicably, but instead tend to avoid them through locking themselves up and become miserable. Even those diverting attention towards spirituality are also a form of escape from having to face the reality in life. The 5 aggregates are impermanent, unreal, empty, non-self, and are not what you think. Thus not you, because you are nothing and nobody. Your nature is also emptiness, empty nature existence. Your form and mind are not you, because it is dependent originating, hence impermanent. He know you and he know me, thus no reality. You must reflect, contemplate and investigate why Krishnamurti did say, I am nothing and you are nothing, because you, the form and mind, is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to and grasp onto as the I and the me. Empty here means empty nature existence. Even in the unconditioned, it is also anatta, because it cannot come out and let you live life. Thus, your nature is also anatta. It is not an entity you can possess or own. This understanding will liberate your mind from delusion. The conditioned world of form
mind and consciousness would no longer deceive you. You know the whole of creation is not real. It is mind and consciousness that make it. Mind make a day. The fourth stanza in the Diamond Sutra states that the whole of creation is mind make. The phenomenal world is dreamlike, an illusion, a bubble and a shadow. All is dreamlike and impermanent. Thus, mind or consciousness is the greatest illusionist. You can then come to realize the unreality of this conditioned world. All that you perceive is not real, but mind-made. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. If you can penetrate this, you would awaken. Everything is created by the mind. It arises due to condition and ignorance. Sankhara and consciousness give rise to the mundane mind. The mundane mind gives rise to the phenomenal world of consciousness. All phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, anicchang, dukkang and anatta. This teaching is indeed a gem and rare to come about as few would deeply understand it. How do you recognize an enlightened being? Enlightened being do not have a, chop, C-H-O-P, this one's wrong spelling, on their forehead, saying they are enlightened. You have to cultivate, have the right understanding to be able to feel them. You can check whether they still have greed, anger, hatred, fear, delusion, and ego or not. Enlightened ones are wise and virtuous people without all those threats. Okay, the last one. Our former mind is very fragile. It needs protection. Reason why we need the great enlightened being to guide, protect, and bless our nature. So this short note is done by NG, Mrs. Puan Chi's daughter, Pei Yuan. Okay, we end. Sorry to take out a bit of your time. Sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit, then we can end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodanti sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, before you pay homage, I'd like to wish you all Happy New Year. So, Kong Hei Fa Choy. But the real choice is your Dhamma. Without Dhamma, the choice is not the real one. Okay, you can pay your respect, then make your whatever aspiration. Then we end.
for all the tender offering. So this is the last class here for quite some time. There's no class next Thursday. Then on the 14th of February, the Pharmacist House, and we'll be there until after the retreat, after the family retreat, then it comes back here on March to continue the class. For those of you who have not signed up for the retreat, the student is free, let me know. For those of you not yet paid, also be reminded to leave.
So, just for the recording for other people to know, so according to Brother Suyan, this is the last Thursday class before we break off from his house. So the next one will be 14 of February onward, Padmasri House, until our retreat in Cameron Highland. After we come back, the following Thursday, 28th of March, then only we come back to Brother Suyan's house. Then in the meantime, we can have our good Chinese New Year break and holiday. So this year, they are more caring. Last year, I think, Chok Kao onward, we start our class. This year, after 14. So that Chok Sawa, oh, Chok Sawa class, I'm sorry. So one day later. So, but I make sure my wife say that Tuesday, Thursday class before chalk out, everybody busy, no point, understand? So, it's good to make this announcement so that everybody can know. So, we can also wish all Kayamita a happy and good Chinese New Year. May they progress in their spiritual cultivation and also may they have the good life. Well, when you have the Dhamma, everything will follow you. Everything wholesome and good will follow you. So without the Dhamma, you can go and wish, but it will not materialize. But with the Dhamma, no need to wish, it will materialize. Last time I gave a talk at SGBA many years back, I remember. They talk about Chinese New Year greeting. So what do you think? Kyong hi wa chai, all those things. Do you think it will happen? Cannot, it depends on your karma. You don't take care of karma, all these wishing are worse. So, but it's a good occasion to wish people so that people have joy and happiness. At least that moment the mind is not thinking of problem, not having sad moments. So our festival has its meaning, actually very good. And the Chinese people has a lot of festival. That's why our economy will do well. Where we create a lot of economic activity. Every festival, we will encourage consumption. Then our country got a lot of races, a lot of New Year holiday. So in a sense, it's good for economic activities. If you know how to make use of it, all this culture thing can still bring for benefit, great benefits. But if you are gullible, deluded, then it can backfire. Because some of the culture are not correct, like feng shui, all those things, you have to be careful. Okay, we end. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, yeah.